You may be seated, my friends. Just a word of gratitude on behalf of my retired pastors, including the one that stood in my stead last week, Reverend Ed Denham. Where's Ed at? Are you missing him here? Back in the back. What are you doing back there?
I'm a Methodist.
Oh, yeah. I told the Lutheran pastor these were the important seats right here, and yeah, these guys are, they got our guests here as well, so yeah, thank you, Ed, and we do, I have the best colleagues and the retirees, and we depend on them a great deal, and thank you, Ed, for your message and about God's presence ushering us into the wilderness, into this new year. And did I get all that right, Ed? Was that the, I try to, yeah, of course, it didn't take me near as long as it took you to get to that point, but yeah. Thanks, Ed. No, I'm grateful for all of our. My electric motor. Okay, we'll work on that. Yeah. I picked this passage out. You know, this is an important time, of course, about the feeding of the multitudes, and we've hit on it before on different aspects, but we call this the packathon. I always call it Boxing Day because, you know, it comes after Christmas. You know, it's connected to Christmas. Boxing Day was that tradition from England where when people got, the genteel society and the upper crust, they got their gifts and their kids kids and relatives and so forth. They gave then their hand-me-downs and their used toys that they could, and they gave those to the underprivileged and the servants and so forth else. So a way of thinking about those who have much less. And we get all together and we box that up and we make that grand, and we do it all in an hour, and it's just exciting and a lot of work for a lot of people to make that time come together. So thank you all for a part of that. But I wanted to kind of lift this up. This story, I just love this story for so many reasons. It's one of my favorite of the miracle stories. And the tradition interpretation is that Jesus took that the boy had, those five loaves and two fishes, and somehow multiplied all that in some kind of miraculous, magical way. But I rather like the interpretation that some scholars have that Jesus actually did a different thing. And the real miracle was that Jesus actually got people to open up their hearts, which is the real power of Christ, I believe. That God works primarily through human beings, and God works through the hearts of people. That people recognized the potential that they did not see that was there before. And the potentiality that is inherent in us and in creation. The thing that we don't see because we're so focused on ourselves and what's right in front of us. But when given an opportunity, when given an example, and the young boy has that, of someone who gives selflessly out of the meager means that they have, five loaves and two fishes, that what happened, some scholars tell us, is that people were moved by that. And that people at that time, they did have a little stash with them. And they would put it inside in their robes. And it would be like those. Well, first off, when the Bible's talking about five loaves, they're not talking about loaves of bread like you would make, homemade bread. No. I mean, it would be homemade, but it would be little barley loaves. Be those ancient grains. Be those hard things. You ever had barley loaves? Some of you complain about the bread that we serve at communion. You would not like that. Yes, the barley loaves, little hard grains, but they lasted longer and they were portable. And of course, dried fish. Taking that with you. But the kind of thing that was portable and could be taken and that people would have. And that people were moved by a little boy who came to Jesus and said, there's all these people. Here, Jesus, you can have mine. And Jesus then blessed that. And God blessed that gift. And people were moved by that, and they opened their hearts and they took out their little patch, the little they had, they shared. And what they found, in each one doing that, there was more than enough. And that's the miracle. That's the one I like anyway. But the story points out a lot of things that I want us to think about today. One of it is just open our eyes to the possibilities. I think that's why Jesus came as much as anything else, to help us see what we couldn't see in ourselves and in creation. A lot of the great discoveries in the world are just that. They are discoveries. Yeah. Medicine is making discoveries about and miraculous cures. Well, they're discoveries. They were already there. They were already inherent in creation, in the human body, and just paying better attention, being able to see better in order to cure better. And that's happening in science all over the world. We pretend like science maybe doesn't have anything to do with faith. It has everything to do with faith. It's all about paying attention and realizing the potential in creation that God placed from the beginning and continues to work to opening our eyes and our minds and our hearts that we might bring the change this world needs. And it's happening in big ways and it's happening in little ways. And the way that it happened through this small child is the way that it can happen in all of us. When I was a kid, I grew up a child in the 60s. I was born in 1960, so my childhood. And my mother, she was that quintessential mother in the suburb. You know, I was an Air Force brat and a preacher's kid. And we lived a lot of time all around different places. And I had a messed up childhood. I think that's all been well chronicled and so forth. Yeah. But we lived a lot of time in the suburbs. And my mother, you know, her job was taking care of us and our family. And she did that well. And she did what a lot of mothers did. She packed our lunch in a little box. Well, my box was metal and it had Batman all over it. And I loved that until I broke the thermos when I threw it at Timmy Newsom because I was a chunky kid and I couldn't catch him when he spit on me. So that's how that happened. That's another story. So anyway, for a while. And she would pack that lunch. My mother was wonderful. Everything was packed in wax paper. To this day, I still believe in my heart that things taste better when they're wrapped in wax paper. But there was also the love that my mother put in there. And there was more food than even a chubby kid could eat. All right. And there was so much food there that oftentimes I couldn't even eat it. Also, I traded. That's what, you know, remember lunch? And you could trade. And even then, sometimes there was stuff left over. And I would bring it home and my mother would unpack. She'd say, "Do you not eat everything I send?" And I would say, "No, not always. Sometimes I trade it, but sometimes people don't want the carrot sticks, you know." And she would say, "Are there kids at your school that maybe don't have lunch?" "No, I don't think so." And she said, "Do you look around? Do you take notice?" "No, Mom, I kind of pay attention to what I'm having here, you know." And then she told me a story. And it was a story about how she began to pay attention when she was a young girl and she was at school. A little country school in western Nebraska. And one day at lunchtime, some of the kids next to her, a little girl, came from a family down the road from my mom's family. And she saw that they had sandwiches and they were not made out of bread. The sandwiches were made from the pancakes that they had had for breakfast. And my mother, not understanding what that is, she laughed. And she teased the girl for her strange little sandwiches. And the teacher heard her and called her in after school and explained to her what happened, what was going on. And she said, and that time on, she paid attention to what people had and what they didn't have. And when she saw that maybe they didn't have all they needed, she would share. And she invited me to share. So I began to do that. So the first step was to pay attention, to look around to see what other kids had and didn't have. So here's this little chubby kid that loves his Twinkies. You know, there's two of them in a pack. So every once in a while, I'd share one. And one day, I got this great idea for this kid that didn't have a lunchbox. I gave mine to him, my broken thermos Batman. And he took it gladly. And I told my mom, you know, a Spider-Man one would be really good right now. She wasn't buying any of it, all right? She was familiar with my work anyway. But it was the beginning. And still today, even, we have to pay attention. We have to open our eyes to what's going on around us, that it's not all about us. You know, even Pastor Craig talking about the backpacks. That's a great thing we do, pack those backpacks with nutritious food, send it off with kids. But you got to pay attention to what's going on. Those backpacks often, they were the same backpacks, weren't they, Craig? Those black backpacks. And other kids would notice that, so they would make fun of them. And so now you got to change that around a little bit, too. You got to always be paying attention, always be developing how we minister to those with the greatest need and what they need. And I'm glad to say that I think that we do. I want to read for you some things and research that I was doing here quickly to take note that right now there are about 12% of the world suffers from hunger. But that's improving. That we continue to make strides in that. And the realization, too, of what hunger means. It's not just people that don't have enough to fill their stomach. It's about the kind of calories that they get. So the food that we're going to pack today is not, I've shared this before, not your grandmother's oatmeal, all right? This stuff is packed with great nutrition and nutrients, vitamins, and protein in the oatmeal that we have. So it can go anywhere in the world, can be easily stored and transported, could feed anyone. The other things that we pack that often, even those that are on a vegetarian diet, even though some of those things are protein and packed, they're vegetable proteins sent anywhere in the world. Anyone can eat them, even people who haven't eaten in a week and can eat those meals, and they are the most nutritious kinds of meals that we can prepare in that way. So that we're making advances on that as well. And some countries are far ahead of where we've been in the past, but still the need is great. Even here in the United States, even in Arizona, we still have a long ways to go. And the most recent statistics that I have, that Arizona is the fifth worst state in the U.S. for overall food insecurity. That one in four children, one in four, and one in five adults, and one in seven seniors struggled with hunger. And as you know, that if you've got a mother who doesn't have enough to eat, the child that she bears does not get sufficient nutrition and starts out life behind the curve. And you know, if you don't have the right amount of food and the calories and the nutrients and the you're not going to grow up to your full potential. And that we struggle with as well. So the need is there, and the strides are there, and we're doing our best to make a difference. Maybe not our best. This is a great thing we do, but it's maybe not our best thing. The best thing that we could do is not just do something for those who are hungry, but begin to, as God's people who are called to address injustice, do something about the reason why there is hunger in the world and the reason why there is poverty and how we might address that as a people who seek to be a part of Christ's work to build the kingdom of God. If we could do those things together, and I think that we're moving toward that. I feel that, and I hope that we will continue to build on this, that we will continue to work and spread our influence and our commitment and our partnership throughout with all who seek to do something to meet this great need. And we will we will open our eyes and we will open our minds to the possibilities. And we will, as Jesus taught the disciples and the crowd that was there, to be able to see what is possible by you and I sharing what we have. I believe that's the real miracle at work, and it's more powerful, I believe, when God has already equipped us. And I believe God has. And God has called us to this great work. There's so much need in the world. We know that. But you and I, we are equipped to make that difference. Many people are angry because the world isn't what they want. And many people will look up and they will see so much of the world hungry. And they will say, how could God allow that? Why doesn't God do something? Maybe you've said that. But here's the reality. If we open our eyes, we know this, that there is enough food in the world to feed the over 7 billion people in it. There is enough food. So God, who's in charge of production, has done God's part. The problem is not in production. The problem is in distribution. Who's in charge of that? You and I, we are in charge of that. And maybe we can't do anything about what other people do. You and I can do our part. We can do our thing. And if we do that, maybe, like the small child who said, here, Jesus, take what I have and bless it and see what happens. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, my friend.